Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Make sure those notifications are turned on. We are a week away, basically, from training camp. Exactly. It feels amazing. I don't know about you guys. For me, this offseason went quicker than any I can recall, at least in the recent past. But I'm obviously insanely excited. I'll be out there for the first training camp practice, tweeting everything out. So it's going to get really exciting here in just a week. And you're definitely going to want to make sure that you have those notifications turned on. So make sure to do that. If you're listening on the audio podcast, make sure that you're getting those automatic downloads turned on as well. Today, we are going to be kicking off part one of a three-part series. Do this usually every year, right before the start of training camp. And that is three different looks at what could go right, what could go wrong, and what are realistic expectations for this Packers team. So we get to do the most fun of those today, which is how the Packers can ultimately win a Super Bowl in 2025. That's the goal. Period. End of story. You're one of the 32 teams. You will have a lot of talent on this team, a good quarterback, a good coach, a lot of really talented players. I'm not saying it is, insanely likely. I'm not saying that they're the Super Bowl favorites. I'm not saying anything like that. But clearly the goal here is to still get into the dance, make that run, and ultimately win a Super Bowl and bring that Lombardi trophy home to Green Bay, getting the parade in a super cold February Green Bay, Wisconsin. These are the things that we want this upcoming year. In order for that to happen, what we're going to be taking a look at today in detail is basically the checklist, right? What needs to happen for this team to ultimately reach that goal and see glory this upcoming year? So I have 12 things on my list. And today, again, we're going to be going over what can happen for the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Tomorrow, it's what happens if they aren't as good? What happens if they don't make the playoffs? What probably went wrong to get to that point? And then again, in a couple of days, we'll be going over what the realistic expectations should be for this team. So here, without further ado, are my 12 things that I think need to happen, the checklist for the Packers to win a Super Bowl this upcoming season. I think there's only one real logical place to start off with number one on this list. As soon as the 2024 season ended, Brian Gutekunst had his postseason press conference, and he ended that press conference by basically kind of giving a final statement. He took a question and then he kind of morphed it at the end into his final statement. And we know that final statement very well by this point. We've discussed it on numerous occasions, as has everybody else this offseason. And everyone's taken their own little spin on it of exactly what it means. But the point stands that Brian Gutekunst really kicked off the 2025 year, the offseason in this upcoming year, by saying there needs to be a level of urgency with this team. The player, and he actually reiterated it, by the way. I don't know if you watched. If you didn't, I highly recommend checking it out. If you go watch his interview with Cheesehead TV with Aaron and Corey, and they kind of asked him about winning and those sort of things, he sort of reiterated this again. The players are in place. They wanted this young, up-and-coming team to develop together. They've added the pieces that they needed to add. To quote Kevin Green, it is time. It's time for there to be a level of urgency. It's time for this team to reach the next heights. And as Brian Gutekunst said, it is time to start winning championships. So to me, number one on this list is I need to see that level of urgency, but taking it a step forward of growth, of maturity, and progression from this group of players and this team as a whole. This offseason, free agency, draft, etc., is the time that for all 32 teams, hope springs eternal. We all have Super Bowl aspirations. We all have this idea that this could be the year, that this team's going to be special, that Green Bay did what they needed to do in order to make a Super Bowl run. We felt this way going into 2024. 2023 ended on a very positive note, was a young up-and-coming team. You saw the possibilities. And then in 2024, what happened is we saw stagnation and in a lot of cases, regression. That clearly, if they want to win a Super Bowl in 2025, cannot happen again. And I do believe that is why Brian Gutekunst had that call for urgency at the start of the offseason. It was to sort of recalibrate expectations for the front office, for the coaches, for the players, that it is time with this current group of players to start winning championships. And in order to do that, there needs to be that growth. This is supposed to be a draft and develop franchise. You draft talented players, you develop them, you let them grow, and you flourish. Last year, again, as we talked about, we saw more regression and stagnation, and we did not see that progression from the players. This team is going to need to see numerous players take some step in a positive direction, whether that's even just getting back to the level that they were at in 2023 or in previous seasons, or whether that's young players taking that first step to showing that they can become something more than we've seen from them so far, or in the case of the rookies, those first signs of like, oh, Green Bay has some really good players here. If that doesn't happen, there is zero world in which Green Bay can win a Super Bowl. The team as is, talent-wise, in 2024, and if everyone is just status quo, right? Nobody takes a jump. And I'm not even saying anybody takes a step back. Without even a single player taking a step back, but nobody taking a step forward, it's done. You cannot win with that team. Players are going to have to get better. And more importantly, players are going to have to play better. I love the additions of Matthew Golden in the rookie class, Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, etc. There's no significant losses. I get Jaire Alexander, but he barely played. There's no significant losses. There's some fun additions, but that in and of itself, some coaching tweaks, some, you know, changes to game day philosophy or play calling or anything like that. That stuff can help, but it's only going to get you so far. It is going to take these players taking that step in the positive direction to get where you want to go. Now, I'm not certainly breaking any news with that. You know that. I know that. We all know that. But that has to happen first. And there should be, I think, some real legitimate concern of, hey, we just saw a season in which there were far too many players stagnating or taking that step back. So just automatically assuming that this works like a Star Wars trilogy, where year one, you see signs of hope, which was 2023. Year two, it's the Empire Strikes Back and the bad guys start winning. And then the next year is you win it all, right? You blow up the Death Star, you win the Super Bowl, etc. Just assuming that that's going to be the arc here doesn't necessarily work that way. In the real world, and especially when it comes to football, you had signs of hope, you took a step back, and now it could be another step back. And if it's another step back, or again, just a stagnation, Green Bay is going to be caught in mud and they're not going to be able to take that step forward. And it's going to end with a disappointing 2025. So number one on this list, without question, is there needs to be a sign of growth, maturity, progression, and urgency. Number two is one that we will go through quickly. It has to be on the list. We'll discuss it shortly, but it goes for all 32 teams. It's nothing that's specific to the Packers. You have to have some injury luck. More specifically, you can't be the snake bit team, and you can't have even just one or two of the injuries happen to your one or two most important players. Specifically, Jordan Love. You can get through, as we saw last year, 3, 4, 5 games maybe without Jordan Love if you absolutely have to. But I guess also I will add an asterisk to that. Maybe pretend or depending, I should say, on the 3 or 4 teams that you play, right? Like Green Bay got maybe a little bit lucky, not in the fact that Jordan was injured. That was extremely unlucky, but lucky in the fact that the games that he primarily missed was Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Jacksonville, and that those were winnable games without Jordan Love in them. Kudos to Malik Willis, the coaching staff, et cetera, and the rest of the team for pulling off those wins. Still, that's still not an easy feat, but they did get a little bit lucky with their level of opponent in those games. Had they played some tougher opponents, it may not have been as easy to win with Malik Willis in those games. But first and foremost, you have to have, you know, your quarterback is basically going to have to stay healthy. He can't be the team that has 20 guys on IR. I don't even care who the 20 are. Whoever makes the 53, if you're just randomly selecting 20 guys off of that and they're going to end up on IR, it's going to be a very difficult thing to overcome. And then just taking it one step further, again, even if it's not Jordan Love, even if it's not 20 guys, even if it's four guys, but those four guys are Zach Tom, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, you know, pick your other one, Edrin Cooper or something like that, it's catastrophic in and of itself. You're probably not coming back from that. So it goes without saying, we don't need to spend a ton of time on it, but it's certainly a worthy inclusion on the list. They are going to have some injury luck in order to win a Super Bowl. And it sucks, right? I wish the injury slider in Madden could just be turned off when it comes to injuries for a lot of different reasons, for the players individually, for just seeing who the best team is. Unfortunately, we don't get a real opportunity to see who the best team is for the season because you have to navigate all these crazy injuries. And a lot of times it's a war of attrition rather than which team actually put the best roster together. But putting the best roster together includes depth and making sure that you have the pieces that you need to fill in. But again, there does come some injury luck along with that. Number three, you have to have a end of 2023 Jordan Love type season. Maybe not through the entirety of 2025. I think for the most part, you can probably get through 2025 with Jordan Love if everything else goes well, playing like he did kind of a season ago, which again, I don't want to say is bad by any means, and we know he fought injuries, but let's just say that we see a similar 2025 Jordan Love to what happened or what we saw in 2024. Some ups and downs, some interceptions, some really good plays, some not so great plays, just kind of that, you know, up and down, right? Not quite as consistent as maybe we would like it. That's okay if, I don't know, starting in like week 17, Jordan gets hot like he did in 2023, and week 17 through the playoffs, he looks unstoppable. There's a Eli Manning there, right? And I'm not comparing Jordan to Eli Manning. And some people might say, I would love him to be Eli Manning. Some people would say, oh, no, I don't want him to be Eli Manning. He's one of the more polarizing quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. I think most people would take Eli Manning Super Bowls, right? But Eli, as a regular season quarterback, whatever, not great, right? Ups and downs as well. But come playoff time, he would get hot and play some of his best football of his entire career and win some Super Bowls. Now you could potentially have that for Jordan, but at some point, Jordan's going to have to play some real consistent and exceptional, probably exceptional football. And again, it could be that he just plays solid through the most of the year and then gets hot at the right time, or it could just be that he is awesome through the entirety of it. I would gladly sign up for that if that was the option, right? But at some point in time, I'll say 90% of the time, because there's always a Trent Dilfer Ravens. There's always some exception maybe to the rule, but like 90 to 95% of the time, you need a quarterback playing at an extremely high level. Nick Foles might be the other exception, but in order to win a Super Bowl. So it could just be, again, he gets hot at the right time, which cool. I'm awesome with that. That's totally fine. As long as he gets to the dance and then decides to turn it up four notches. Awesome. Be my guest. I will gladly take that. But at some point in time, Jordan's going to have to play at a high enough level to elevate this team to Super Bowl champion. Number four is something that I've talked about recently, and that in order to be a Super Bowl contender / Super Bowl winner, it is a prerequisite. It is an absolute must that you have what I would say is at least a top 10 pass rush in the NFL. And no, you cannot go to the box score stats and look at which team had the most sacks and see Green Bay. Oh, Green Bay was eighth in sacks. Awesome. They're a top. Nope, doesn't work that way. Depending on what metrics they use, I know they were statistically 26th, I believe, in pass rush win rate, 16th in pressure percentage. There's a variety of other different pieces that you could look at that make it seem not as great as that number eight in sacks would tell you. And yes, I saw somebody post on Twitter the most ridiculous thing. I mentioned that in order to, you know, quantify this, you do have to make notice of, if, you know, with them being eighth in the league in sacks, that they made that up primarily against Will Levis, against Sam Howell. And, you know, the Dolphins game is a little bit, they didn't have as many sacks, but that was a little bit more legitimate in that game, but in three games. And somebody posted of like, well, yeah, if you take away their best, you know, game, of course it's going to look worse. It's not that you're taking away their best game. If that best game had been against Minnesota, you know, or Detroit or something like that, in Philadelphia, we're not quantifying it. It's just pointing out that, hey, two of their big sack games were primarily against levels of quarterback and competition and Nicholas Petit-Frere and a Seahawks offensive line that was absolutely abysmal. Congratulations, you took care of two really bad offensive lines with bad quarterbacks behind them. That is not what you're going to see in the playoffs. So no, I'm not looking at box score sacks. I'm not looking at anything like that. I'm looking at overall pressure percentage, pass rush win rates, and the ability to consistently fluster a quarterback, regardless of if you are a Philly, Detroit, Minnesota, one of these teams with really good offensive lines, or if you are playing a bottom feeder that has a bad quarterback and a bad offensive line. You should beat that team. Go out still and do it. But I need to see that level of consistency. And it is so difficult that if you get to the playoffs, and just, I mean, think, you might see Minnesota, Detroit, Philly, boom, 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 in the three playoff games. And then another probably really great offensive line in the Super Bowl. And if you can't get to that quarterback, again, it's a non-starter. It's done. It's over. You might win one of those games. Maybe you'll win two. Maybe, doubt it, but maybe you'll win three. You're not winning four. You're not getting through three insanely great playoff teams plus a Super Bowl without getting generating a consistent pass rush from your four. And I get Jeff Hafley showed some pretty magical stuff in 2024. At some point, you have to be able to say, hey, our four guys, LVN, Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, are just going to beat your five guys up front. We're not disguising anything. We're not bringing crazy exotic blitzes. We're covering with our seven on the backside. We're telling you, these are the four that are coming after you, and they're going to get there. And if you can't do that, good luck winning a Super Bowl. I think if everything else goes unbelievably, you probably still could. You need everything else to go unbelievably if that's going to be the case. And that's just not going to happen. So it is a prerequisite. It is a absolute must on the checklist that Green Bay improves their pass rush to be able to get home with four more consistently and bother the quarterback more regularly if they want to be a Super Bowl team this upcoming season. We'll be right back. Hey friends, it's officially the All-Star break, which means it's time to get ready for an epic second half of the baseball season on Prize Picks. And as always, Prize Picks is going all out just like they do during football season and have the best promos, prizes, and selections. And there's never been a better time to get in on all the action and to start winning real money. Now, right now, you can sign up on Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is absolutely guaranteed. So if you think Milwaukee's going to stay hot after the All-Star break, if you think Andrew Vaughn's going to continue to impress, then it's time to cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money this baseball season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Now, I know I'm going to come out firing in the second half with some big-time selections on Shohei Ohtani, Jazz Chisholm, Christian Yelich, and All-Star snub Christopher Sanchez. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game. Number five kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with injuries of where we could talk about these things with any given team. I will note, especially in the first two of these, I don't think Green Bay was good enough in 2024, which is why these were ultimately worth mentioning as well, It's an overall category that, again, instead of putting all three of these in different slots, and again, we could talk about it with pretty much every team, I'm just talking about like the efficiency stats here. So what I mean by that is third and fourth down percentage, both on offense and on defense, red zone percentage, both on offense and on defense, and turnover percentage. These are, you know, one of the things for Badgers basketball fans, there's probably a few out there knowing that you're Wisconsin sports fans, right? Back in the day when Bo Ryan was coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, what he did such an unbelievable job of was he took like the 3, 4, 5 most important stats in basketball and just said, we're going to win these every game. The ones that would point you most towards winning a game, he just made it so that his teams, the way that their roster was set up and what he focused on, we're going to take those statistics and we're going to win them almost every single game. And I always talked about it like Bo Ryan is the casino of coaches. He's the house. He is set up so that all the statistical advantages are in his favor. And you might win. You might win every once in a while, but on the whole, he's going to beat, you know, he's going to have a winning record and be in the top four in the Big Ten every single year because he has these, he's going to win these statistics that show you if you do this every game, you're just going to win a lot. And that's exactly what he did. The NFL statistics for that, you know, are the ones that you really want to control. Turnover percentage, we know, and turnover margin, red zone efficiency, third and fourth down conversions. These are like top of the list, both offensively and defensively, where if you control those statistics, you're the casino, you're the house. Every once in a while, another player might get lucky against you, but you're going to win more often than not. You might lose a battle, you're going to win the war. And if Green Bay can do really well in those efficiency statistics, more importantly, be better than they were in 2024, yeah, they'll have a shot at this thing. They weren't good enough on third and fourth down. We talked about especially those fourth down percentages with Warren Sharp earlier in the week. If you didn't check that out, make sure to do so. It's a phenomenal conversation with Warren. The red zone on offense, I didn't actually look at the defensive percentage. My apologies for that. But it wasn't terrible. It just also wasn't great. There was teams that I think they were 10th on offense. There were teams that were definitely better than them by a pretty consistent percentage point. I am hoping that with guys like Anthony Belton, we'll see if he actually plays or not, but Aaron Banks, some bigger offensive linemen, that's going to help them with some of that movement in red zone and some of the short yardage situations and make them a little bit more efficient. But they're going to have to control those much better than they did overall in totality in 2024 and make it so that they are a little bit more of the house, a little bit more of the casino, and they're in control. And you're going to have to beat them while not controlling those real important analytical and statistical advantages that you look at are most important to actually winning football games. Going along with that, and this is something we also discussed with Warren Sharp on Monday's show, is the aggressiveness or aggression from Matt LaFleur. Matt, for whatever reason, went completely into a shell in 2024. If you looked in years past, he was almost always at the top of the league of, from an analytical standpoint, what decision should he make? Whether it was going for it, whether it was kicking a field goal, whether it was punting, whether it was going for two. Like Green Bay was in like the top five consistently in analytical advantages based on Matt LaFleur's decision making. And this went remarkably in the opposite direction in 2024. Now, there could be some reasons for that. As Warren Sharp mentioned, in some of those previous years, they, even when they were making the right decision, it didn't pay off for them because they didn't execute as well. So maybe Matt inherently is like, hey, we're being aggressive, we're going for it, we're making the quote-unquote right decision, but it's biting us because we're not executing enough. So we have to go in the opposite direction. I don't like that philosophy or thinking, but maybe that played a part. Or maybe even unconsciously, right? Or subconsciously, it was playing a part of like, hey, when I've done this in the past, it hasn't worked, so let me try something different. That could be a piece of it. The injuries to Jordan Love, and specifically knowing when you have those Malik Willis games, that absolutely could be a piece of it where you're just kind of changing your level of aggressiveness because you feel like you need to kind of play the field position game a little bit more. Could be that, quite frankly, the defense was a lot better in 2024. So maybe he felt like, hey, I'm willing to punt to the other team because my defense is going to get me the ball back actually for the first time. Even still, even if that's the case, you should almost think of it the other way, right? of if I turn the ball over on downs, my defense is going to get me out of this pickle and they'll get off the field and we're not going to, you know, give up a touchdown or whatever. So I think the level of aggressiveness from Matt needs to go back to where it was previously, but the team also needs to pay off that aggressiveness. Like, aggression in and of itself will not win you anything. Passiveness could lose you something, which again, I think is a part of some of the problems in 2024. But just because you're going for it on fourth down in the right situation or going for two or whatever the case may be, that in and of itself will not get you to where you want to go. You have to be aggressive, and then you actually have to pay that off as well. Detroit's been such an amazing example of this, at least in the regular season. Go forward aggressively, but also be efficient and make sure you're practicing those things and can execute upon those aggressive decisions. Because if you go all aggressive and you fail, it's also going to backfire in your face. So not only just being more aggressive, but being efficient with those aggressive decisions and being successful in those aggressive decisions. Number seven also is one of those of like, yeah, clearly got to get the drops and the wide receiver error cleaned up in a pretty significant way. Just can't happen. Your playmakers have to make plays, not give them away, not give away opportunities to get down the field or stay on the field or whatever the situation might be. This is a league where these little moments in games swing the game in very aggressive ways. A key drop on a third or fourth down, or even just a drop when you've got the ability to make a big play, can swing a game in a million different directions. And Green Bay left far too much meat on the bone this past year. Now, there is a bright side to that. Green Bay left that many plays on the field, and they were still a pretty darn good offense. Still scored points, were I think still a top 10 scoring offense, or at least close to it, and still made the playoffs, despite, as Warren Sharp put it, kind of like a season from hell when it came to obviously Jordan Love's injuries, as well as some of the just pure boneheaded mistakes from the Packers offense. That's all well and great, and it shouldn't be a trend. You saw Wicks and Reed, amongst others, not have these drop issues just 2 years ago in 2023. So if that cleans itself up, you're going to be a much more efficient offense. And it's such, at least it feels like, such an easy aspect to go and clean up. Here's the thing. Wicks, Reed, Dobbs, especially Wicks and Reed, who again struggled with it this past year, are still going to have prominent roles, at least it would seem, in this offense. In addition, Luke Musgrave struggled with drops at times. Matthew Golden, although he was much improved as a member of Texas earlier in his career and in his career in total, he had a 8.4%, I believe, drop percentage. Savion Williams was at 9.4%. Like, these are players that in college have had drop issues as well. So he didn't exactly go out in a personnel standpoint and fix this situation. Do I think the competition at wide receiver is going to make it so that everyone is acutely aware that they got to go out and execute the right way if they want to stay on the field? Yes. Do I think inherently guys like Reed and Wicks are just going to be better? And I think it's, knock on wood, hopefully pretty impossible for them to be as bad as they were in 2024. Absolutely. But they still have to go out and show that. And if you continue to give up plays because you just can't catch the ball, which is, by the way, a pretty important aspect of playing a playmaking position in the NFL, good luck. It's just going to haunt you far too much. So they have to be far better when it comes to receiver error, and they just have to come up with those big plays, especially when Jordan is putting them in positions to be very successful. Number eight, the depth of this team is going to have to shine through. We talked about injury luck, and you can be one of the teams that has fewer injuries and things like that. Injuries are still going to hit. You're going to end up with players who go on IR. You're going to end up with probably an important player or two that misses some time. You're going to have to get through those things. I thought Green Bay, for the most part, did a pretty good job of that when injuries hit this past year. And even when Jordan was out with Malik filling in, they were able to pick up wins. But that's going to have to continue. And I think Green Bay is set up for that. I really do. I think they have depth at pretty much outside of corner, they have depth pretty much everywhere. And I think they can get by with injuries. Again, corner maybe notwithstanding, like that's going to be a potential issue if they would lose a corner or two. But outside of that, I do think this is a team that if you said, hey, Green Bay and Minnesota are playing and Minnesota's missing five random players and Green Bay's missing five random players, regardless of who that other team is, I like Green Bay's chances of being able to fill in for those players better than the vast majority of teams in the NFL. Goody is, you know, we'll probably talk about this maybe on another one of the episodes coming up here. Goody maybe needs to do a little bit better job of getting star players, but man, is this dude really, really good. And the pro personnel department is really, really good at finding good players all throughout the roster. Like, this is a team that's pretty deep, very talented, and there's not a lot of holes overall from the depth of this roster. So if that can continue, if that can shine through, they're going to be in a very good spot where even if you do have a few holes poked in your roster due to injury, Green Bay set up to fill those pretty darn well. Actually, all right, I lied. It's not on a future episode. It's kind of right now. We're going to talk about it right here, right now. Number nine is that there's going to have to be some evolution into greatness. This is exactly what I was talking about. Green Bay has some really good players. They are very much lacking in great upper echelon players. Xavier McKinney, definitely in the conversation. Not only in the conversation, he's a fantastic player, all pro player, right? Josh Jacobs, definitely in that conversation. Zach Tom's definitely in that conversation. And I think there's a couple others that maybe you could get there with or maybe have the potential to get there. But there needs to be this growth from some of these young players from good to great. Jordan Love would be a really fun example of a player that steps into true greatness at the quarterback position. Tucker Kraft at tight end. I'll take any of the young wide receivers. I think there's a couple of young offensive linemen. Even Zach Tom taking that next step into maybe that all-pro territory would be amazing. Somebody along the defensive line. There's talent there. They need somebody to step up. Edgerrin Cooper into that Pro Bowl or all-pro player, which I think he's more than capable of. I even think somebody like an Evan Williams can play at a Pro Bowl level. They need guys to go from solid, good, fun players to stars in this league. This is a star-driven league. I've always talked about, I think there's two ways that you can get there to the Super Bowl and win it. One is having your stars carry you, or two is having just a really good team with no weaknesses, with a couple really great players here or there, but it's more that you don't have weakness, that is that you have a ton of strength. I think that Philly team with Nick Foles is always a great example of some really good players on that team, but primarily led by the fact that they didn't have any weaknesses anywhere. And that was what helped them get over the top. And maybe Green Bay can be that latter one where it's just like, hey, we're good everywhere. Good luck beating us. But man, it would be a lot easier if some of these players just took that next step into stardom and really helped this team get to that point where they can be a team where their 3, 4, 5 star players can carry them through even some tough stretches, some big matchups, and some big playoff games. So there needs to be that evolution into greatness for some of these players. Number 10, Goody and the pro personnel department, I just gave them a bunch of praise for being able to find good players almost anywhere. I think they're going to need at least one more sort of magic touch on something, whether that's finding, you know, Rasul Douglas off of a practice squad. I'm not saying specifically Rasul Douglas, but like the move where they found Rasul Douglas off the practice squad or found a Whitney Merciless midseason. I know he got hurt and it didn't pay off the way that we would have liked it to, but whether it's Brandon McManus, like they found a season ago. Usually, again, you're going to have some injuries, you're going to have some adversity, something's going to hit, and you're going to need to find a player or two that's able to fill some of those holes. Look back at the Super Bowl season, right? Howard Green was a player that they picked up midseason, ends up coming up with a big play. Andre Rison in 96. Like, you're usually going to have a player or two that you pick up that's going to have an impact throughout the season, whether that's at the trade deadline, whether that's like Malik Willis right before the start of the season or Brandon McManus in season a year ago. You're going to need a couple of those moves, and Goody and the pro personnel department are going to have to hit on maybe one or two more players that can really help this team at some point this season. We'll be right back. Number 11 is something that I think is a unquestioned must-have at some point for any team. And I know that it sucks for fans, but it's something that I really embrace when it happens. You have to not only have adversity, you have to face it head on and you have to overcome it. At some point, some things are going to go wrong. Now, you might look at Philly this past year and be like, actually, Andy, Philly really didn't have that much adversity this past year. I kind of agree with you, which would seemingly disagree with my previous point, but 2023 for Philly was one of the most adverse situations that you could possibly have, meaning they were top of the league and then just plummeted to the point where they were seemingly very close to firing their coach and starting this thing, like just going in a completely different direction. Like 2023, the end of it, the second half of the season was about as unmitigated of a nightmare as you could possibly imagine for any team. They saw that adversity face on. They faced it in the offseason, put together a better team, stuck with their head coach, came out of it on the other side, and became a much better team, a much more well-rounded team, and a Super Bowl team this past year. So they faced it. They just kind of faced it over this course of like a 2-year period of time, right? Every team is going to have to go through that at some point. The low lows, the it feels like we can't overcome this, and face it head on and overcome it. And to me, I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know what adversity might strike this season. I hope they're the exception. They don't face any adversity and they just win everything. Go, you know, 19-0 or whatever, 20-0 now. Yeah, absolutely. I'll take that if that could happen. But it doesn't usually happen that way. You're usually going to have to go through the crap at some point. And, you know, if you can Andy Dufresne it, which if you're aware of Shawshank Redemption, you know what I'm talking about. You got to go through the tunnel of you know what in order to get out and have your celebration at the end. That's what Green Bay is probably going to have to do at some point. So when you see this team lose a couple games in a row or face some adversity at some point this season, no, the initial reaction is just fire everyone, cut everybody, trade everybody, everyone sucks. But face that head on, hope that they can come out of it the other side, because if they can, they're going to be much stronger for it and in a much better position to actually go out and win at a high level in 2025 and beyond. Last but not least, number 12, they've got to be better in big games. Man, this is a team that beat up on some bad teams in 2024. And when they got good opponents, saying they folded is probably a little too harsh, but they lost. They couldn't win. They didn't win. They had multiple chances to show that they could win, and they didn't do it. Two against Detroit, two against Minnesota, two against Philly. They even had double chances against each of their top opponents. Couldn't do it the first time. We're going to give you a second chance. Couldn't do it the second time. Six games, six opponents, six L's. Those are their six toughest opponents all year long. You got a solid win against Houston at home. Everyone else is fine. LA Rams were without Kupp and without Puka Nacua. Again, Houston was a solid win. Everyone else, the top six teams that you played, you lost to. So if you have a desire to win a Super Bowl, not only do you need to get to said Super Bowl by beating at least two big time teams, you have to win that game in the Super Bowl. So at a best case scenario where you are the number one seed in the NFC and only have to win two games in the playoffs, which if you did that, by the way, you got a bunch of wins against good teams during the course of the season. Then you have to win two games in the playoffs against very tough teams, and you've got to win a Super Bowl. So it goes without saying, the way that they played last year in big games, they couldn't get one of those wins, and now they're probably going to have to get four in a row come playoff time. We'll see if they can get there. We'll see to the playoffs in the first place. We'll see if they can get those big wins. But if they can't, it doesn't really matter if all these other things are better, right? They show growth. They don't have injuries. Jordan Love looks even better. They improve their pass rush. Their efficiency stats are better. Matt LaFleur is far more aggressive. They clean up the drop issues. Depth really does shine through, and they are able to fill those holes as injury hits through the course of the season. They do have a couple of those players step into greatness. Good even finds another player to help this team. They face adversity during the season and come out the other side of it, and then they get into a big playoff game. Boom, done, over, and the season's a massive disappointment because you couldn't pick up at one playoff game. Because you couldn't play well in big games. All of that other stuff could go right, and you could still end up wrong because you weren't good enough in big games. This is a young team, hasn't had a ton of experience. that it's, again, we go back to number one. It has to be urgency, progression. This young team has to get better. If they don't, we probably don't see them play better in big games, and it's probably an early playoff exit for the Packers. So I'll go through them one more time. My list of 12 things, the checklist. And maybe, again, maybe they could go 11 out of 12 on this list, depending on which one they, you know, don't clean up. But they're going to need this list to pretty much come to fruition if they want to be the best of the best, number one out of 32 teams, and finish holding a Lombardi trophy. Growth, maturity, progression, and urgency, injury luck, Jordan Love either being great or being great when it matters most, an improved pass rush, dominating or at least being better in the efficiency stats, red zone, third and fourth down, turnovers, etc. A better level of aggressiveness from Matt LaFleur, not dropping the ball anywhere near as much as we saw this past year, the depth being what we expect it to be, an evolution into greatness, Goody finding a couple more pieces throughout the course of the year to help this team, or at least one more, face adversity head on, come out the better side of it, and be better in big games. If they can do those things, go for it. Super Bowl is yours. They'll have a real legitimate awesome chance. They come up short on maybe any of them, it's going to be a really difficult task to go in and actually get to and win a Super Bowl this upcoming season. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully we can look back at this list at the end of the year and be like, wow, they went 12 for 12 and won a Super Bowl. Or I don't even care. They could go over 12 and win a Super Bowl, and that'd be a fun conversation too. But this is probably what they're going to need to do to get to that point. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo Sada, Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griff Henblee. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.